listening to the Kingdom Driven Family Podcast, and I am your host, Andrea Schwartz. And today I am speaking with Anne Lieber. Now, Anne is an interesting person. I met her just over 3 years ago when she contacted me because she wanted to use the services of myself and my daughter because we work as birth doulas. And for people who aren't familiar with what a doula is, go back a couple of decades and think labor coach and you get an idea what a birth doula is. Basically, doula is the Greek word for servant, and the idea is that when a woman is in labor, about to give birth, it's helpful for her to have someone who's there to particularly address her needs and to help her through the sometimes painful but definitely laborious process, because that's why it's called labor, of giving birth. And so a doula can help with strategies to help relieve some of the stress and the tension, etc. So that's how Anne came to call me, but I remember going through the initial interview, kind of like, tell me, is this your first pregnancy and how old are you? And I was sure I heard it wrong because she told me that she had 8 children, but this was her first pregnancy. So, hello, Anne.
Hi.
Why don't you explain to the listeners how a woman with 8 children was on her first pregnancy with her 9th?
I guess to start at the very beginning, I remember being in college and Googling something about orphanages in China and seeing what was called dying rooms, tiny shriveled up baby girls that didn't make it, didn't have love and didn't have touch and just withered away. And I remember crying and talking to God about it, that I really wanted to adopt children. And I guess I wanted to adopt as many as I could to save as many as possible. That's the heart of evangelism. And then my husband, when we met, we had a conversation about, well, shortly after we met, we had a conversation about adoption and my desire to adopt as many as possible. And I don't, 8 or 9 did not meet. I had no idea what that meant at this time. It probably meant 2 or 3 in my mind. We talked about adoption, and he had already thought about adoption, and that made sense for him. And so we got married, decided we wanted to adopt all our children.
You decided that you weren't going to have any children of your own, or was that the plan?
That was the plan.
Now, was that because you didn't look forward to pregnancy, or you just, in your mind, it was about adoption?
It was about adoption. We didn't have something against pregnancy. We really wanted to maximize the impact that we could make, and we felt like having birth children would take away from one more that we could adopt.
I see.
Not everyone agrees with that, but that's how we felt. We wanted to adopt as many as we could, and we just decided to focus on that.
Okay, so how long were you two married before your first adoption or the process of adoption began?
About 2 years. We finally looked in earnest about 2 years into it. We decided on foster adoption because we didn't have an extra $30,000 lying around. And through foster, the process is paid for. So it made money not be an option. We also, as we went through the process, found that there was really a line for babies. Even in Ethiopia, you had to kind of get in line to get a baby. That was the high demand. We felt like if there's even a line for babies in Ethiopia, and we're trying to give a child a home that wouldn't have one otherwise, then let's set our sights a little differently on children rather than babies. And that stretched our faith. But children that needed a home, and there wasn't a line for them, and they might not get adopted. We finally landed on foster care as our venue. I guess we felt maybe more comfortable with being able to foster before we adopted, rather than adopting a child with a personality that we didn't really know from another country. And then there was the money aspect of it also.
Now, a lot of people don't understand why it costs so much to privately adopt. Can you give a short explanation why $30,000 is needed to adopt one child?
Yeah, that's befuddling. There's lawyers, there's travel, and then I think a lot of countries have you pay something toward the care that the child has already received from the government. And then there's legal costs on both sides. I didn't go too far down that road, but there's a quick answer.
So in foster care, as starting off that way, it gives you a sort of grace period for the child to see if it works with them to you and vice versa. But did you specifically ask for children who could then be adopted, or did you just say if there was a need for a home to foster some children, we would take any child that needed fostering?
Our desire was to adopt, and so we went into foster with the intention of adopting and said that from the beginning. Our first adoption was 1, 3, and 5-year-old. They were precious, and they were still in the reunification phase where social services was trying to help the birth mother to reunify with them. And that was more difficult for us than we imagined it would be. It's kind of a conflict of interest because we were there wanting to adopt, and then we had agreed to support the reunification. The second time around, we chose differently on how to maneuver the system. The second time around, we told them we just wanted children that already had parental rights terminated or were very close to that. And fostering is an incredible ministry, and I totally support that. It's not what we felt called to do. We were focusing on adoption.
I know, because I've met your children, that of the 8, 3 were siblings, and then the second adoption, the 5 were siblings. Is it hard to adopt a sibling group, or is that something that the foster care is very interested in keeping the children together?
They are very interested in keeping children together. A lot of people don't have the faith or desire to take on more than maybe 2 kids. There's a longer line for children that are single or maybe even 2. There's really much less people who are open to a group. And so it was pretty simple. I mean, it was just a matter of connecting with the right people and moving them in.
Now, from the children's point of view, obviously they were old enough to have recollection and experience with their birth mother at least. Did they respond to you right off the bat as parents, or were they sort of leery about who you were?
Our first adoption, they were 1, 3, and 5, and that one was simpler. They bonded quickly and bonded well, and it was beautiful. Our second adoption, the children were 8, 6, 5, 3, and 1, and they were older, and some of them were not as relationally intact. There was more challenges the second time. So our oldest in that group, who was 8, he's a loving darling. And then the next 2 had a lot of walls, and they still do, but less so. There's been some great healing. And then the 2 babies, well, they might as well be birth children. They're well bonded, and it's as if they had been born to us. Little or no memory of their birth family. Something interesting with the second children was that they had been in a foster home for 1.5 years and were very bonded to their foster family. And so they really mourned the loss of their foster family more than the loss of their birth family.
And why didn't that foster family adopt them? Were they just never adoption-minded? They were just fostering to foster?
Right. I don't know what their reasons were, but yeah.
Okay, so you don't live in a very big house, because I've been there.
Right.
And yet, aside from the fact that the children don't particularly look like you, because they're all from Hispanic descent, at least partially, they are some of the most well-behaved and well-ordered children that I've ever seen, especially the very first time I met them. I remember we were meeting at a house where you would regularly meet on Sundays, and eight little bodies came in, and you told them all to sit down and to have a snack, and no back talk or anything. They just did what you said, and I was sort of dumbfounded.
Wow. It's not perfect, but I really love homeschooling. I feel like being together all the time has restored the years the locusts have eaten. I don't know if I'm quoting that exactly right, but I can't imagine. I mean, I know that people do adopt without homeschooling, but I love homeschooling for rebuilding the bonds that weren't built in the typical way of birth and pregnancy and breastfeeding and as a baby. And, you know, we've had to start at least with half of our kids from over the age of 5. And being together all the time allows me to train consistently, to discipline consistently. And we try to limit their negative influences, like, you know, movies with disrespect, things like that. Kids copy things like that. And
sure,
we're blessed to be able to kind of keep those things out and be consistent. And it's really beautiful, the people that they're turning into. We're very blessed by God. And, of course, God makes it grow. I just sow the seeds in water, and then the fruit is from God.
That's great. How about, let's call them the two sibling groups. Are they pretty cohesive now? Do they still greater identify with the family that, you know, the sisters and brothers that they came from? Or do you see that those lines are sort of disintegrated?
I don't see any war between the clans. I remember the first, like, 2 weeks, it was us versus them.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it, and we talked about it, and we might have talked about it a third time. And then it's really melted away. And then with Faith coming...
Well, you need to explain Faith, because that was how we originally met. So explain the whole process of telling the children that you and Dan were going to have a biological baby.
Oh, that was a surprise, because they, you know, we'd always been adoption-minded, but they were excited. They were surprised, but they were excited and really welcomed her. And I think Faith, I don't know, Faith is everyone's baby.
And she looks a lot like you. She doesn't look like her brothers and sisters. But I remember after she was born coming to visit, and my thought was, this child will never lack for companionship.
Never. And we've added a 10th child that you don't know about.
Really?
We have been doing free daycare for a single mom, and are trying to not legally adopt, but relationally adopt them both and just draw them into our family. And that's new for us. He's 14 months old and just fits right in. And he's really a blessing also, even though he's part-time.
So he doesn't live with you, but he's there.
He's with us while his mom is working.
I see.
And we hope to permanently keep them both in our family.
And how old is she?
Mid-20s.
We'll get back to that, because that's new. I sort of surprised me with that one, but... Tell people what it was like when you were in the hospital, because you originally intended to have a home birth, but that didn't turn out that way. And you eventually even had to have a cesarean in order to bring Faith into the world. So talk about what it was like for the nursing staff when your husband walked in 8 children to see their new sister.
Well, everyone wanted to see the show. And then everyone, you know, all the nurses came to comment. So how many children do you have? You know, as they would come in, it was apparently the talk of the ward. So that was funny.
Does Faith ever perceive herself as being different in the bunch?
No. And when we talk about adoption, she doesn't get it. So she says, I'm adopted too.
That's funny. I'm sure mealtimes are interesting in your house. I'm sure taking trips are interesting in your house. Explain a little bit about what life is like on a daily basis for the Lieber family.
You know, when I had three kids, I was like everyone else, and I did everything because I could, and I did it better. And then when three turned to eight and then nine, I couldn't do it all anymore. And the kids, I had to call on them to grow up faster and take on more responsibility. And that was hard because they were young and also, you know, hadn't had that training early in life. But they've grown. And the kids are 12, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 5, and 3. So the top seven of them have each taken one night of the week where they're in charge of dinner, depending on their age and how they're doing that day. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean they do the whole thing, but some of them might. But I at least have a helper for dinners. We all pile into a small table, and it's kind of loud. And at dinner time, Dan tries to read the Bible and share his heart with them over the noise.
Mm-hmm.
And they've really grown in, you know, I don't do laundry anymore. I don't sweep anymore. I don't pick up toys anymore. You know, all these things, we have systems in place. I don't clean the bathroom. I don't clean the kitchen. Everyone has their jobs, and I've had to learn to shift from doing to managing.
Uh-huh.
And I laugh when I tell people this. It's like being the manager of a government agency of incompetent employees where everyone has tenure, so I can't fire anyone, but I got to manage them.
That's great.
They're growing, and I'm continually learning to be more patient, and we're all getting more effective at what we do by God's grace.
Have you ever regretted the decision?
Which decision?
The decision to adopt so many.
Oh, absolutely.
I guess you're not supposed to say that, huh?
Well, the first 3 months was trauma. Trauma for them, trauma for us, trauma for me. And I was in my first trimester when the five kids came home, and I thought that the new kids would assimilate to our family culture and they'd become good kids like my three kids. But it went the other way, and my three kids copied the new bad kids, and I found myself with eight bad kids. And it took time and the grace of God and consistent training. And sometimes I felt like all I did was correct. And that was exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
But then I persevered. What else could we do? You know, even 6 months later, by the time Faith was born, things were better. And things get better as they get older, as the bonds of our relationship grow stronger, as their logic skills progress. Things just get better and better, and it was very hard, but the hard wasn't forever, and now it's really good, and I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful for each of them.
That's a great testimony, and apparently you've got cooperation with not only bringing another one in, you've really brought another two people in, and you know, people have baggage. The best of us have baggage. And I think you have been given an extra dose of grace to be able to look past the present with people and envision a good future.
Maybe so.
Do you think any of this would be possible apart from faith in Christ? I guess you just answered that, huh?
Well, without God, I wouldn't even want to do it.
Right.
But I can't make 9 people do everything. They have to choose to, and God has to inspire them to do what they ought to do. I can't see it being. It seems like without God, the whole thing would be a disaster.
And I know that the little amount of time that I spent with you a while back, I see the tender hearts in your children. You know, I see that they're receptive to being corrected with God's word. I remember all of them, because they all were going to bed the night that we were over there as you went into labor, and they all had these big smiles on their face. And even though they might not know it all the time on a conscious level, there was a really underlying contentment that I saw. Like, they knew they were in a safe place.
Yeah, they definitely. I don't know if they're always content. Definitely feel safe. They definitely feel loved.
What would your recommendation be to people who are saying, I wonder if this is something that would suit me? You don't obviously want to pursue this with an idealistic idea. What's the profile of a person who maybe should not consider fostering, then to adopt? Or do you have any recommendations? That's my question.
The one thing that I could think of is to quote Katie Davis, who wrote Kisses from Katie. She adopted 14 girls in Uganda. And in her words, she said, I think you should pray about it. It's not like God's going to tell you no. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure that there's someone out there that, I'm sure there's some people out there that shouldn't maybe adopt, but God calls us to take care of widows and orphans and their distress. When you think about when God separates the sheep and the goats, he says, when did we feed the hungry? When did we welcome strangers into our house? And if you do it to the least of these, you did it to me. When we adopt, we fulfill all of these but one. We're hungry and you gave them something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison. Hopefully not that one.
Right. Hopefully not that one.
But it's hard. Hard things are often the most worthwhile things to do. And I would encourage anyone considering adoption to also think about where Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. You know, when I started my adoption journey, I wanted a baby like everyone, and there's nothing wrong with adopting a baby. That's awesome. I wanted a baby because I felt like it would be the safest thing for me, the most enjoyable thing for me. And then I transitioned my thinking into looking for children that weren't maybe the best thing for me, but what was best for them. Mm-hmm. And then our second adoption, we pushed ourselves a little more, pressed our faith, but we were trying to serve rather than to be served. And in doing that, in serving wholeheartedly, God has served us with the joy of seeing these children. Honestly, 3 of our kids, when we got them, they were little children on their way to jail. They talked about stealing cars and being cholos.
Mm-hmm.
They were not instantly lovable. Now they are lovable, not perfect, but there's a huge blessing in seeking the kingdom first rather than seeking what you want first.
Right. And let's face it, biological children aren't always lovable. Many a parent struggles with bio children by the time they're older. And I think you've sort of identified the key. The governing principles that you had were to seek God's kingdom first, to serve the children who needed parents and who needed love and affection and guidance and discipline and instruction. And in the end, God also gave you the baby.
But they're each precious. They're each very precious.
And I can say from witnessing it, they're all your kids, you and Dan. These are, there's just not some who are your kids and some who are visiting. They're all your kids. And it may take you a while to get around to correcting everybody when they're out of line, but you get there. And your ability to deal with randomness is just amazing to me.
Well, thank you, God.
So are you a resource for people who are considering this? Do you make yourself available that if somebody wanted to talk about this and ask you more questions? I mean, I realize you have all this extra time in your life.
I would love to talk to anyone who is thinking about adoption. That is a great passion. And we've learned quite a bit about navigating the foster system that I can share also. Hopefully, to smooth your path as someone else would walk it. Would love to talk to anyone.
So how would they get a hold of you?
My email is aringle@hotmail.com. I'm on Facebook, Ann Ringle Lieber, L-E-B as in boy, E-R.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I know I've learned a lot. I thought I knew it all about you, and you surprised me with something new. So thank you, Anne. Never a dull moment with you. And I really hope that anybody listening will take her offer seriously. I know that a number of years ago, we invited Anne to come to a graduation party for my daughter, and she started talking to another one of our guests, and that guest is now well on the way to adopting out of foster care.
Yay.
And so I know that when she helps, she really answers questions and inspires people, because this couple has gone through quite a lot because of the situation. And interestingly enough, in the midst of the process of fostering, they too got pregnant. And so now, instead of having three, one being adopted, they have four.
Yeah.
Thank you, Anne. I really appreciate it. I know all the kids were sent to bed early and you tried to keep things quiet. And we did hear pots and pans every now and then. But folks, this is a working family. So total quiet, I don't think, is a possibility.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it, Andrea.
Join me again next time for the next segment of the Kingdom Driven Family.